This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, May 23rd, 1950, farmers in East Germany spotted American cargo planes flying over their fields. This was, of course, very early in the Cold War. East Germany had only been East Germany for about a year or so at this point, but the non-military warfare that would come to define the battle between the United States and the Soviet bloc, the Cold War, it had already begun. And this was an early effort that came, allegedly, in the form of the Beetle. The day after those American cargo planes flew over the East German fields, farmers discovered that their fields were covered with Colorado potato beetles, an insect which can devastate potato crops. This series of events was quickly propagandized, with East Germany claiming that the invasive beetles had been brought to the country on purpose. The evidence for that is murky at best, and we will get into kind of whether this actually happened or whether this was mostly propaganda and so forth. But here to discuss the Cold War beetle battle are, as always, Nicole Hemmer of Columbia and Kelly Carter Jackson of Wellesley. Hello there.
Hello, Jody.
Hey there.
A quick shout out to our producer, Jacob Feldman, who does the research for every episode, often puts very funny, clever titles at the top of it. And this one, he dubbed it Beetlemania, which is very good. And I have now actually, in my head, developed a theory that this maybe is where the Beatlemania came from, because the Beatles got their start in Germany, as people may know, and maybe there were just Beatles were in the air, and Beatlemania may have been a clever reference by someone who knew about this story. I'm going to run with that. I haven't been able to find that on the internet, but let's
sure,
just say
there's an actual connection.
Sure, why not? So look, I want to go right to this question of sort of, is this propaganda? Is this did this really happen? Because we've talked time and time again on this show about stuff in the Cold War era, the Red Scare, anti-communism being such a big, overwhelming idea that you can kind of fit every small story into that larger idea. And to state the obvious, it's happening on the other side too. I don't know if they called it a blue scare or not, but you know, this feels to me like, oh, okay, we have this beetle crop. It fits really nicely into an emerging idea of this big battle between East and West. And so clearly that seems to me at least part of what's going on here.
Right. I mean, we just spent a week talking about all of these CIA plots that were uncovered in the 1970s. And yet, this does really feel like something that has a natural explanation and that then slots in very easily into the very early days of the Cold War, as people are trying to figure out what this new world order is going to look like.
I think it also fits perfectly because it's a different kind of warfare. It's like ecological or agricultural warfare, in which instead of necessarily directly attacking people or buildings, you're attacking food sources and things that people would need in order to survive. And it seems much more sinister, or equally as sinister, I should say, as bombs or other threats.
Well, so much of what you said there is resonant, including, you said, what, ecological and natural warfare? It is entomological warfare, which is a thing that there's a long history of it. There's a whole sort of list of possible entomological warfare. And most of it, you know, I will say, there's actually sort of hard evidence that Japan used plague-infected fleas against China around the mid-century. But other than that, there are all sorts of sort of rumors and possibilities of this. I mean, there's even a theory that the Black Plague was part of warfare or whatever. Mm. But yes, I mean, you read about the history of entomological warfare, which is how I spent my morning. I mean, there's all sorts of, we're going to do a proper episode on this, but the U.S. has certainly done a ton of like research. There was in 1954, there was something called Operation Big Itch, and then there was something called Operation Magic Sword, and Operation Dropkick. All of these were experiments in entomological warfare. Anyway, back to this East Germany thing. Yes, it really does get propagandized in this way, including, to your point, East Germany basically saying, like, this is a new kind of bomb. you know, and there's posters of like Beatles as bombs, basically.
Yeah.
Which is important in the context of you've entered this new nuclear age. There are these weapons that had been secret that are devastating. They're new. And you also have an East Germany that has come out of this war absolutely devastated, where the German people were starving for much of the war. The infrastructure had been destroyed. It's just starting to get rebuilt. And then come these Beatles. And it's very understandable that people would think about that in the framework of just another attack on Germany. I think that there's a psychological mindset that makes it a very compelling piece of propaganda as well.
Well, there's a letter in 1949 in this time period where a German state bishop talks about the bombing of Dresden and other cities, which came at the very end of the war and were generally considered kind of retribution, right, and targeting of civilians, and just sort of go. And so I think there was this idea, as you were pointing out, you know, in the air, that like people will push the limits in this war, and so then it makes sense that people would think this kind of really devastating warfare, which, you know, only targets civilians basically, or is clearly going to implicate civilians, is on the table.
And it's also, you know, it's fueled by rumors. So there are these East German farmers that claim they spotted American cargo planes like dropping something out of the back, and that this is where the Beatles get dropped onto fields and spread all over. And then, you know, this idea that well, it's not an idea, it's real. There was no like pesticide or no treatment to rid farmers of these beetles. So that makes it even more devastating. You know, if you knew that you could spray a chemical and that this would be over with, that's one thing. But the fact that there wasn't a lot to combat this beetle, I think spread fear and paranoia even more.
Yeah. And it also explains why they had something called Sonderzugtage, which are these days where everyone from like little children to older people would go out and they would have to go pick up these beetles and try to destroy them. Because as Kelly was saying, there's not a pesticide that they can use. So squish, squish, squish.
Oh, God. Yeah. Can we describe these beetles? I had to find out, what did they look like? So, of course, I went to Google Images. They look like, to me, they look a little bit like ladybugs, but with stripes. The shell of the beetle itself kind of looks like a watermelon. So it looks like an orange and black watermelon. You know, you have the different like stripes and watermelons. It kind of looks like that. But the head is orange with black dots on it. And then it has like six legs. It's kind of cute slash gross. I don't know. It has this ladybug slash watermelon look to it. Like a zebra. I don't know.
It's a very good description. You know what my reaction was to it? This looks really good on a mid-century propaganda poster. Like, it's just got bold colors. It's like nice. And you know, you have these posters of like bombs with beetles and airplanes with beetles. And so like, yes, I mean, you know, at some just sort of very graphic design level, it fits in. Yeah.
And the stripes on the shell with the dots on the head, if you color the stripes red and white, you color the head blue with white dots, and suddenly they look on propaganda posters like little American beetles coming to invade the country.
My mind is blown.
Yeah. Well, there were posters that sort of put the American flag into these beetles' backs. Yes. To your point, well, first off, Nikki, way to show off your German there by referring to that day.
I was going to find a way to get it in there.
I know, yes. But yeah, this idea that they would sort of get kids to go out there and collect these beetles. This, by the way, lasted for a long time. And I guess it points out that like this is an ongoing thing, that for generations the potato beetle has been a problem for potato farmers and continued to be a problem. But you know, I think I read reports that even into the 90s and 2000s there were kids who would go out and collect, like, you know, some kids were collecting like hundreds and hundreds of beetles in a given day. But yeah, and you know, there are reports with the potato beetle specifically that, you know, during World War One, that American soldiers carried them into France because they had hopped a ride on their rucksacks or whatever, you know. And so yes, the potato beetle has always been an issue, both in agriculturally and in warfare, as troops move around to different parts of the world.
I think the other part of the story that doesn't really hold a lot of water is that, though it's called the Colorado potato beetle, it's not just endemic to the United States. It's all over Europe. So there were beetles that were there in all around Europe way before this war even began. And so to sort of blame it on the United States, the beetle was likely there before any of this happened.
Yeah. And there are sort of, you know, there are years that they are dormant or there are not so many of them, and then years of infestation. And it is also easy to imagine how an infestation can blossom in a period in which the land has been unsettled and the ecology of the area has been remade through warfare.
Yeah, yeah. And so as we wrap up, to come back to kind of this idea of it as propaganda, I mean, I just want to point out that we have it in this country too, but this idea of quote-unquote invasive species often ties into larger fears. I mean, I remember there was a big fear about the snakehead fish showing up in New York. Sure, an invasive species, like it's a, you know, but the, I don't think it's a coincidence that that was sort of billed as a Asian species or a Chinese specifically species, and that was at a time, you know, when there were fears about China winning the new Cold War or whatever, and the bugification of your enemy. You know, Starship Troopers actually does a very good job of that. But, you know, I think we've always kind of talked about, like, that sort of racist and xenophobic language going towards, like, rodents or bugs or whatever. And so, I don't know, there's just this whole swirl of invasive bugs, all this stuff that fits into to all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, at one point, the Germans call them the six-legged ambassadors of the American invasion, which feels like a pretty on-the-nose description of an invasive species.
Oh, man, the Yankee Beetle. That's probably my fave. All of the names that become, like, American pejoratives or whatever to describe this pesty beetle.
You know, we've talked a lot about this as propaganda, but I think it's worth listening to how the East German government wrote about this. They issued a letter to the people of the world, and they said, "The beetles are smaller than the atomic bomb, but they are also a weapon of the U.S. imperialist in the fight against the peace-loving workers and peasants of East Germany." So it was very explicit in the propaganda that this is the U.S. imperialists on the attack.
Yeah. All right, we will leave it there. Nicole Hammer, thanks to you as always.
Thank you, Jody.
And Kelly Carter-Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
This Day in Esoteric Political History is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. We can only make the show with your support. If you want to support the show and the network, you can do it at thisdaypod.org. Also, on our website, you can sign up for our newsletter. You can also see transcripts of the show. Our researcher and producer is Jacob Feldman. Our producer is Brittany Brown. Kala Nakua helps with transcripts and the newsletter. Thanks to Julie Shapiro and Audrey Martovich, executive producers at Radiotopia. Thanks to the whole team at Radiotopia and PRX. If you have any questions or comments or ideas about the show, get in touch, thisdaypod@gmail.com, or find us on social media at thisdaypod. My name is Jody Avergan. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Radiotopia.